The Local Thread.
Hello and welcome to TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Rob Worsinski, Communications Coordinator with Toledo Public Schools. Over the next hour, we're going to be focusing on the changing political landscape and how that's impacting public education in Ohio. Joining us in studio this week will be Chris Varwig, Toledo Public Schools Board President, TPS Superintendent Dr. Romulus Durant, and TPS Deputy Superintendent Jim Gant. Well, we're going to get our conversation going on this week's episode of TPS Proud Out Loud. The first person I'm going to introduce was, she's the boss right now, TPS School Board President Chris Varwig. We say hello to you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Very first thing, why were you motivated to be a school board member? What has kept you as motivated to be a school board member all these years later?
Wow. You know what? I will tell you, the thing that motivated me the most was this was an opportunity for me to give back to my community. Public education had such an impact on my life. It was a lifeline for me, and I know it's that way for many students. And so it was an opportunity for me to kind of move that forward and provide opportunities for students. I had principals and teachers and parents encourage me to run for school board. I waited until after my daughter graduated and then decided to put my name in the hat.
And then today, what keeps you going today?
That's a really great question.
A lot's happened over the last few years, I know.
A lot has happened. Yeah. But you know what? There is such a fight to dismantle public education in this country, and I'm a fighter, and I'm gonna go down swinging. So my determination is really to continue providing educational opportunities and the true school choice of public education to our students.
We say hello to TPS Superintendent, CEO, Dr. Romulus Durant. And Dr. Durant, to have Ms. Varwig as your boss, what kind of a boss is she?
Well, you know, we go way back, obviously, as assistant superintendent, and she was a parent. And so I think it's always intuitive of administration and even superintendent to always look at, you know, those parents who really go above and beyond for your district, who makes great board members just as well. And I can remember those days that, oh, I don't think I could do it. And she was worried about Robert's rule of order. And I said, look, that's scripted. We write what they're saying, and all you got to do is read the script. That's it? I was like, but at the end of the day, it can look like a daunting task, but she had taken it on, and, you know, and she ended up becoming the president of the Ohio School Board Association, which hadn't happened since before I was born in the 70s. And so to see TPS be looked upon across the state in that light of leadership among board members, she has presumed that position and has done a phenomenal job of not just raising her own kids and as a parent, but as a board member who treats every child as if they're her own, and has really made her mission to do that.
And we also say hello now to Deputy Superintendent Jim Gant. Boy, Jim, you got a couple of bosses here, but tell me, the leadership for just not only Toledo, but here in this area to have strong advocates for public education, how does that make your job a little easier?
Easier? Is that the word?
I'm not trying to trip you.
Fair enough. I will tell you, one of the interesting things about both of the individuals here is Dr. Durant is obviously passionate about education and providing services to our students. Chris is definitely an advocate for public education and how that is operating and the impact of it from a legislative perspective as well. And one of the cool things about it is we are here to educate students as an administration. We need people fighting and leading the fight for us as a public institution and public education. And Chris is no doubt a fighter. There's no doubt about that. And it's very it provides a nice equilibrium, the way that I see it, in terms of being in my position, to have individuals who have passions across the board.
So Ms. Varwig, I mean, since 2013, being on the board for 2 years, you were president of Ohio School Boards Association president. In the year 2026, is there still a need for public education here in Ohio?
More than ever. More than ever. And the fight, unfortunately, has grown just because, you know, you think to yourself, wouldn't it be great if our public schools were be able to partner with our state, right, in a way that they support us, they invest in us, and our students thrive. And yet, here we are yet again having to fight for our very lives, so to speak. And it's unfortunate, but you know what? When there's a will, there's a way. So we will find a way to overcome.
If I had to say the EdChoice political movement in Ohio, your reaction would be?
Well, you know what? Here's the crazy thing is that I'm an advocate for school choice. I think it's a great thing to have school choice. But if you want to send your kid to a private school, then you need to pay for it. I look at public education as it's an investment in our public school system. And so when you think about it, you know, just like police and fire, it's an investment in your security for your home and for the property value. We're investing in our children who are the future leaders. That just makes sense to me. So the fact that we're even investing in private schools that are unaccountable, that's crazy.
And for Dr. D, I know your big thing is the tie between public education and workforce development. Without question, that's your mantra, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important. I mean, the fabrication and understanding of education alone, it prepare kids to become successful citizens. And the only way to do that is to be able to make sure that these kids graduate with the interest that they had developed, and to be able to move right into industry and to be able to support themselves, their future families, and at the same time contribute to society, that they become the next Miss Varwig who watched their child go through schooling and then decided to join the school board because they've been engaged, but more importantly have become a contributor to the educational process. And so it did bring great joy because, again, this is the passion of labor. Board members get paid nothing to come here and spend the hours that they do in the committee meetings as well as the board meetings. And so their ability to partner with the district in a way of working with teachers, working with administrators and central office folks is a true balance, and they've done a great job doing so.
You're not adding to your 401k being a member of...
Listen, you know what? Someone asked me before about what we get paid, and I'm like, it's $1.56 an hour. That's on a conservative basis.
Mr. Gant, for you, the perspective that Ms. Varwig brings as a parent, and then being also the school board president, as a parent perspective, how does that help you as an administrator?
Well, we have to make sure that we always stay aware of our circumstances as we make our decisions from an operational perspective. And one of the things that Chris does a really good job of is making sure that we understand the viewpoints of our parents. She does a good job. I won't use HARP, but she does make sure that we consistently talk about how we're doing things in the manner that's beneficial to our families, our students, and our parents. And we have such a diverse group of that, meaning that we have affluent parents and we have less affluent parents, and we need to make sure that we're addressing and communicating with all of them. And Chris does a really good job because of her background making sure that we try to do that.
Yeah. Ms. Varwig, whether somebody has a child that's going to school in Toledo, Ohio, or Bradner or Lima, how has this EdChoice movement of, you know, the decision to, you know, allow monies to flow away from the public schools, how has that impacted public education here?
Well, listen, it hurts every single school district. There are over 300 districts right now that are involved in the voucher lawsuit. Vouchers Hurt Ohio is the movement, and TPS has been a part of it and helped lead the way. You know, Ohio School Board Association has also been in support of that. They realize that it's impacting every single school district. It will start with funding for sure, right? And then you look at enrollment. All of those things are impacted. Every district is going to feel it a little bit different. Some are going to be going to the ballot much more often because the state's reliance is to push the school districts to rely on their local community funding more so than the state.
Absolutely, because over the years we've seen it. Mm-hmm. Bowling Green, Perrysburg, now Sylvania. I mean, it's not just the quote-unquote urban districts that's feeling the pinch.
No, not only that, but, you know, in the rural areas, they compete a lot with the homeschooling aspect. So now with homeschool dollars going to homeschool situations that, again, are not accounted for. I think that is the big thing for me is from the state perspective, if you're going to invest those dollars into alternative educational opportunities, then there should be oversight on that, and there is not.
Would this be Dr. D, I'll ask, would this be even a simpler discussion if the choice was a completely different pot of money than every other education?
When you put it in perspective, is that we have never gotten it right because we have draw versus the state that have been found unconstitutional consecutively, meaning it was saying it was not funding a school system equitably in the way that it should. And that was the whole idea for the fair school funding, was to say, hey, let's take a true crack at trying to resolve this, which was a case that had taken place in the late 90s and early 2000s, and still there's no remedy. And so the whole idea of the Fair School Funding was to provide some sense of remedy and truly take a true effort to do so. And I truly believe that they had done just that and getting a step towards that direction. We've now taken two steps the other direction, and we've now had broadened and widened the gap between what our taxpayers pay and what the state paid compared to where we had gotten ourselves to, where taxpayers were trying to pay more, less and less, and the state was picking up more and more responsibility within that. And that's the whole essence of it. But, you know, again, it's just interesting to see what's happening. And at the same time, just as you stated, it's all coming out of the same pot, same money, just being diverted in almost a shell game.
Same question. Ms. Farrow?
Well, listen, you're not going to hear me complain about, you might hear me complain. I will say that at the end of the day, whether it's the same pot of money or it's not, the point is you need to fund public education to the extent that it needs to be funded. That is your primary. We have 1.6 million students that attend public schools, and compared to what the private schools have, and yet their increases are growing leaps and bounds. The fact that what was it, 1 year, the first year was $1.2 billion with a B dollars, unaccounted for dollars. That's insanity. Who does that?
So, I mean, critics of public education have long advocated for all schools in Ohio to be privatized. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think it money is the pure motivator here? What else? What other factors might be at play here? I know it's an open question, but I mean, everybody seems to say it's all about the money. But man, what else could we be talking about? I don't know.
Yeah, money and power go hand in hand, right? So,
yeah.
I think it's a question of those two things. I think it's a question of led by the federal government and the institution there. What they think is important, that they really distribute to all of the states in some form or fashion, whether it be support or the lack thereof as a result of where they decide where their priorities are at. So there is just a distinct effort that the prioritizations of this nation, this state, in this state at least, is driven by a certain direction. And I think that's all driven by money and power.
Yeah, no, 100%. When my daughter was first starting out in Toledo Public Schools, back then we were ranked, fifth or sixth in the nation, the state of Ohio was, in education. She graduates and, she did really well, right? But at the end of the day, we're now, ranked in the 32nd, 39th?
I just saw a U.S. News World Report ranking that ranked the educational overall, top to bottom, the entire educational system in Ohio, ranked 38th in the country.
Yeah, that does not surprise me at all. If you look at the state of Massachusetts, they're probably first, aren't they?
I didn't go that. I saw Ohio. I think that shocked me. So I didn't see who saw. I just saw the Ohio ranking and I was kind of like.
Yeah. Massachusetts is first. You know what? Because they're doing it right. They're investing in public education where the dollars are accounted for. That's truly where the dollars should be invested at.
Is that a simple question? I mean, or a simple statement? If it's public money, it should be a public entity dealing with the public money for education.
Well, and I think, you know, anytime you speak of both public and private, many times, whether it's business or anything else, you go private for the fact that you don't want all the strings that are tied to the state. You want to maintain your private privileges, which is great. But at the same time, you can't have expectations of being able to have not have the same accountability that you would have public, meaning that most people never wanted to delve into public dollars because it came with accountability or you were going to have to divulge your records or all these other things. And in some way, we have kind of diverted from that responsibility that if you want these dollars, here are the expectations that come with them. And so public schools have always adhered to those, since the start in the beginning. But now that we're moving more and more towards converting dollars into private entities, we begin to see a shift that there's no longer an expectation that despite you getting public dollars, you're expected to take these tests, show your test scores, have a report card, at the same time show transparency in your finances.
So who's going to bat in 2026 for public education? Besides,
from a political standpoint,
yeah, I mean, it's
well, you know what? What I've seen, and I've looked at both on I guess front runners, Dr. Acton, and then Vivek Ramaswamy. Right now, Dr. Acton is full on board with public education and supporting it the way it needs to be supported. You know what? I was hopeful that both of them would be, but at the same time, I'm not seeing that from the other side.
Is this purely a DNR issue, in your opinion?
No, I don't think so, although it seems to be. But I think there's more to it than that. I mean, I think what Mr. Gant talked about was the power behind it. I also think that there's ideologies that are behind it. You know what? At the end of the day, it truly needs to be about our students and what is in their best interest and the public. So it's the common good, and that's what public dollars are there for.
Yeah. And I mean, that argument could be said about a whole lot of other factors of society, whether we're talking healthcare or infrastructure or what
safety,
have you.
Safety, security.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll take a pause right now. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of TPS Proud Out Loud. And welcome back to TPS Proud Out Loud. Rob Worsensky here, being joined by Chris Varwig, the TPS board president, Dr. Romulus Durant, TPS superintendent, and then also deputy superintendent Jim Gant. We are changing the gears a little bit right now. We are talking about political landscaping and how it's affecting public education across Ohio. Let's turn our focus right now on state report cards. Accountability. Everybody wants it. Our public tax dollars to be spent as effectively and as efficiently as possible. Where is the state getting it wrong on the state report card system? I ask you, Ms. Fartwig.
Well, let's see. I will say that first and foremost, there's not one failing school district. I don't care if they go by A through F. I don't care if they compare us to hotels, right, with the stars. So it doesn't matter. The point is there's not one failing school district. Every single day, our staff across the state of Ohio, they get up, they get to school, and they are there for our students. They are working hard. There are so many challenges across the board from, you know, you name it. Students are coming to us. There's just not one type of student, right? We have some of the most impoverished students right here in the state of Ohio is in Toledo. That also happens in the Appalachia areas. So when you look at the state report card, and I ask this of the business chamber when I go to get endorsement from them, and I ask them, when has this report card ever worked for you or any of your business community? It's never, never. So why do you believe one entity, the state of Ohio, that it's the best approach to assess our students? It's not. If you look again at states across the country, you look at New Mexico, it's got an excellent report card format. If you look at Massachusetts, another excellent example of a state report card that truly gets to what parents want to know. They want to know, what kind of art programs do you have? What kind of music programs do you have? What kind of athletics do you have? Let's talk about reading and writing. We're not afraid to talk about scores when we need to. That's not a problem. The most important point, though, is that we're assessing our students in a fair manner. And the way the report card does right now, it just tells you the poverty level from that particular district.
And as far as where do we go from here, then?
Well, listen, I've already started down at Ohio School Board Association with a focus group on the state report card. And we have provided different alternatives. I've approached some of the state legislators about it, especially the marketing. If you just look at the marketing tool alone, why would any business outside of the state of Ohio look at our state report card and think, whoo, I want to bring my business to Ohio when half the districts are failing? That's insanity. Who does that? So your marketing is hogwash, in my opinion. We can start there, but then let's go to assessment tools. Dr. Drant can certainly talk about the assessment, so maybe I'll let him talk about that part.
Sure.
Well, you know, I think one of the notions was, and that was, you know, when the Obama administration had Common Core and Common Assessment, the whole goal was to be able to say, how do you assess across the country with a universal standard and universal assessment to be able to compare? Because what you're finding is different levels of rigors among different states, meaning that the rigor in the state of Texas or in others are far less rigorous than the state of Ohio or vice versa, et cetera. And so you never have a universal approach. And that was the whole ideology behind that, is to say, we want to compare apple to apples and opposed to what we're comparing today. But at the other same time, is that, you know, there's an ability to evaluate individuals in perspective of all the circumstances they're involved with. But more importantly, if you want to evaluate a district, you got to rule out some of these outliers that would completely skew the data. So in other words, we have over 20% of our students who are special needs. We're not going to give a child who's functioning on a third grade level the high school test, but they're being asked to. And so you're only going to get, you know, a low percentage of those who will get an alternative assessment. The rest of them
will now be graded accordingly based on not being able to meet the mark for the high school level or whatever level their grades are at. At the same time, when you talk about our homelessness, I spoke in another segment of this, is that at the end of the day, the Blade did a phenomenal job that showed that our homelessness population of 2,000 kids is larger than 66% of the school districts in the state of Ohio. That's 611 districts, meaning we have a homeless population that could be a district of its own. And at the end of the day, all those scores are part of it. But at the same time, a child who is in that level of mobility, one, started off not on the right foot coming into kindergarten. They were probably behind. Two, at the same time, they have rotated to so many different schools. They are out of touch with different standards at different schools. And three, they find themselves spiraling, either not being at school or other reasons. And these things begin to compound. But at the same time, you know, districts are making great strides. And so every child should have an individualized growth metric that we evaluate them on. Not necessarily the way that they do it in a report card, because the way they do it, I'm going to compare this homeless kid compared to the kid in Ottawa Hills and all these others. And whatever the growth is that happens at the state level, it's the growth that child should have. No, that child should have a growth to themselves. They should have a growth to have an individualized growth perspective that report card speak to, then you average those averages of growth amongst all individuals. But you can't compare apples to oranges and begin to think that at the end of the day, this school district is failing for one reason or another, when at the same time, that child was severely behind but made huge growth. But at the end of the day, it's not at the growth that other kids who were ahead of them. And so I always put in perspective when you talk about, you know, sometimes because I'll do fitness training and weight, that if a person is 400 pounds and I've gotten them to lose 200 pounds, that is remarkable. But that child, that person is 5'6", and according to this book, they should weigh 150 pounds, so they got an F. That person to get an F, that person got an A, based on the effort and what they got themselves to. And at the same time, that's an individualized assessment in what we should do with each children when it comes to academics.
Does this go right to the heart of the OST, the standardized testing, that I would think a lot of times teachers are very pressured in the classroom to really focus a lot of time on a standardized test to make sure these kids are doing, because this is what it's connected to.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you talk about standardized testing. So what is the goal of the assessment? I would assume that nowadays our goal would be, how do you interact in a technology-driven environment that is able to make sure that I can utilize whatever I need to do to move forward within this job that I have? How does the standardized test deal with AI in some respects? How does it deal with the surroundings of how we interact from a social emotional perspective? I mean, if you think about it, any of these jobs that we have and or that are we training our students to have, candidly, they're not going to be tested on, you know, the geometry of it. Quite candidly, they have a device that could potentially be able to do that for them. The question is going to be, how do they take in information and then utilize that information for success? And I would imagine that any employer would want somebody to have that understanding of information and how do our kids learn and engage in a way for their success. And when we start talking about standardized testing, I think we lose the mark as a nation in some respects, because there is no standardized testing that gets you to where you need to be the way that I see it. There is ability to see issues and projects and things, and how do I put things together in order for success?
The OST is hamstringing teachers in the classroom, do you think, Ms. Farwick?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, let's talk about the state for a minute, because that's where I get the most. The state is, they know that our special needs population is about 20% of our enrollment. They know that already. They know that the report card is not going to benefit us. It is done by design to make public schools look bad. Period. Period. It's done by design. So until the state legislature has a different perspective or is just downright changed, nothing is going to change for us.
I mean, going back to what Dr. Durant had said, if there are people that have challenges, maybe a testing, how are they dealing with those challenges and how are they advancing themselves with those challenges? It's more of an individualized, because let's face it, I mean, so many people have a whole different, everybody's unique. Everybody has a different set of circumstances around them. So to say you have one standardized test and everybody's forced to take that same test, well, that, you know, so where, from your perspective as a school board president and, you know, what, you know, how do we change that?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, listen, I've encouraged school board members across the state of Ohio to run for office at the state level, and some are starting to do it, which is fantastic. That's how we change. We get more teachers, principals, school board members to run for the state house. Because actually, if you look at the state legislature right now, the majority of them have never served in any other office. They don't even know. And I will say, from my vantage point, you know, I believe that school board is where everybody should start. That's where you learn the ins and the outs and how to actually be ethical and do the right things, right? So, I mean, you get paid chump change, right? It's that's not what it's about. You want to advance into something more meaningful or make a bigger impact, you should at least start at school board level so you know the ABCs of government. Right now, the state legislature, it's the Republicans have had full reign for 16, at least 16 years, if not 20 years. So, you know, all of this stems from them.
I mean, changing the heart of the OST, which does impact the state report card and whether a district gets 3.5 stars or 4 or what, whatever. So, I mean, You think that the real change, it needs to come from how the students are being assessed?
I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you know what? I think that, I mean, it's the fair thing to do, right? Like, not everybody fits into the same cookie cutter. They just don't. And so having that individualized assessment just makes sense.
Yeah. Dr. Drake.
You know, and at the same time, I think, you know, one of the areas that hasn't been touched upon and had become a growing initiative, but we had put it on the forefront in 2013 when we went after Head Start, that early childhood investment at the best investment. People, if the best intervention is prevention, if you're waiting for a child to be 6 years of age before they actually get an educated, certified teacher in front of them, they have missed the mark and are severely behind if they do not have enriched oral language within that household. That's why it's a socioeconomic issue, because the oral language within households based on socioeconomic vary differently in vocabulary and other exposures of reading material. This is what's happening. 80% of our kindergartners are coming in needing intervention. 40% need intensive intervention. Of that 40 are eligible for an IEP, which is special education, and they're not even disabled. They just have a youth discrepancy between their performance between their age group and where they're at. And so these kids are on an uphill battle all the way along. Our teachers do a remarkable job of trying to battle and educate and get kids where they need to be. And guess what? It's up and down. Why? Because when I get you 9 months period of time, I got youth growth. Summer months hits in. Now all of a sudden I'm getting you back 2.5 from summer slide. Now you done took a step back and now the next teacher's saying, I'm gonna get you back up where I can get you, Johnny. But then again, summer hits again. And at the end of the day, there's no dollars for summer school. There's no dollars for pre-K. And these are the areas that kids who lack enrichment in their household are showing further gaps. When they start off, the summer months compound over a course of time, and many of them spiral out and drop out. Others who find their passion find a new life to progress forward, and they find a mentor who really mentors to get them going. And that's what we've done in TPS, is keeping kids going, not letting them give up on themselves, but at the end of the day, defying the odds to ultimately cross that stage, but more importantly, be employable and be able to have a family of their own that they can be proud about.
And I know in recent years, Toledo Public Schools has taken it upon itself to create a narrative that is reflective of what's happening in the Toledo Public School buildings, and I'm sure other districts around the state feel compelled to do the same. But Mr. Gant, I know, like, when the state report cards come out, we have to tell community stakeholders, you know, things are going in if anybody's just looking at what star the school district gets rated, that doesn't tell the story. Doesn't tell what's happening.
And Ms. Varwick was very key in this, if not the key in this. We really tried to do a different effort in terms of defining what that report card is by globally looking at what are the impacts of these students and what are some of the things that they are experiencing that tells the real story of these students other than a grade. That's anywhere from, you know, the socioeconomic experiences that they have, the offerings that we provide them, the supports that we're providing them too as well. And one of the things that we really have been trying to do, and I know that we've led this with the other states too, is try to tell the story behind what the standardized testing are and the report cards that's provided by the state.
Yeah. And I think we could definitely draw a connection between the state report card system and the push for additional ed choice options in the state. I would imagine as far away as
100%. Absolutely. They are. If you think that they were not coordinated, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
They absolutely are. I mean, again, it's about priorities. What's your priority? Is it students in public schools? Or is it lining the pockets of private schools and charter schools?
And they're run, they're LLC. You don't know who's behind.
You don't know them. Who's behind. You know what? And think about this. I mean, just a few years ago, before the whole universal voucher and they did tiered vouchers, we would have students that would, you know, go to a private high school and they would get removed from that high school for various reasons. Maybe it was their hair, maybe it was the way, you know, something. And they would come back to us after they were removed, and they owed a debt to that private high school. But did we get the report card with it? So we knew, did we get any of that? No. As a matter of fact, Dr. Durant would have to go out and find donors to cover the cost of a private, what the student and the family owed, just so we could get the transcripts. So that child, we could put them into classes so they could graduate and walk. We've had families file bankruptcy over that process. But does anybody talk about that? No. Now they just have universal vouchers and you can't find squat on anything.
Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to continue the discussion with Ms. Varwig and share her thoughts and her dealings with other communities around Ohio regarding this particular issue of the political landscape and how it's affecting public education in Ohio. You are listening to TPS Proud Out Loud.
And welcome back to TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Rob Worsensky, being joined by Chris Varwick. She is TPS Board President, Dr. Romulus Durant, Superintendent at TPS, Jim Gant, Deputy Superintendent of TPS. Well, here we are. The calendar, as I see it now, says 2026. Wow. I feel like deja vu all over again. I'll get used to it probably about September, October, November 26, and then you got to get another year down the drain. But here we are, TPS moving ahead with its own transformation plan. But given the current political landscape and all that's been happening, how, Ms. Varwick, do you see TPS best moving forward in this particular situation that public education finds itself in to be successful?
Sure. So I'm a big advocate for career tech education. Workforce development is definitely the way to go. I love the academy models that we have in place in the district. That does not mean that I don't love our traditional schools, but I see where we can align with all political factors. You know, all ideologies, everybody agrees that we want our students to be successful and have a job or go into college or enlistment once they graduate. We can all agree on that.
Because I am right there, though. Let's say I don't think when you've got a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, you're like, well, we want to make sure you're not like in this way of thinking and stuff that, you know, you're not going to become a future this or a future that. The goal is to try to just educate and let somebody become mm-hmm. who they end up being.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, what we're offering is that true school choice and educational opportunity right there in our own district. And I mean, whether it's, listen, I have grandchildren in our district and, you know, I haven't said to them, oh, you know, I think you need to be this or anything. No. I want them to explore what we have available. What's interesting to me, my daughter also graduated from Toledo Public, and now that, you know, she's married and has children of her own, she wants the best for those children, right? She wants them to have a great education, and they are receiving that in Toledo Public. When they get to high school, my daughter's already got it in her head, they're going to go to one of the choice schools. Why wouldn't they? Because in parents' minds, they think, hey, they can get the best of both worlds. You're going to get your, you know, educational system. You're going to get your career path. So that way, when you graduate, you're not going to have a lot of debt when it comes to college, or you're going to go right into an internship or a career pathway, or maybe you go into a list. The debt, I think, is something that we really need to focus on a little bit more. So many people from my generation, that was all we were pushed to do was go to college. That was it. We were pushed to go to college. Most of us were not successful at that and are still in debt. So why should we continue to follow that mindset? We have to look at a different pathway. Career tech education is great. You can embed programs right within the traditional school system, which we have done already. You know, we no longer have the Maycumber Whitney, right? The one standalone. What is genius about what I think Dr. Durant and our district is doing is we're putting it where industry's at. It just makes sense. And so I'm a big advocate for continuing that process.
And as far as this movement, I know it's you're right. I mean, the magnet school concept, is it supposed to directly compete with the charter schools, Dr. Durant?
The magnet school concept is compete with all schools. I mean, at the end of the day, choice makes it very competitive. And so, you know, when I get a parent, you know, back in the, you know, in the today, they'll say, oh, you know, I chose this because, you know, I want my child to be in college prep. I said, well, then they're too far behind to be in TPS because they're getting college credit. Your child should be getting college credit right now, not being college prepared. I said, and at the same time, within those college credit, it should align to what they want to do with their life, or they're just taking college credit for no reason. And so I think that's the notion, and that that parents are really appreciating for the fact that they realize that their child is much more competitive and much more further ahead when they're able to get all these things at 18 years of age that they couldn't fathom having themselves. When I got a father who says, look, I went back to school and paid $70,000 to get an AMP certification, which is airframe and power plant to work on airspace or aircraft. He said, you're telling me my son can get the same and have it at 18 years of age? And that's exactly what his son did. And his son not only did that, but his son got hired in, higher in employment at the agency his dad works at because his son was younger in age and they felt like he was much more promotional and that's in the promoting to the higher level. And here this young man is doing just what dad did to raise them on. And so these are, you know, the opportunities that all kids have with many different factions, many different opportunities and careers.
Mr. Gann, I'll ask you this. I've heard this many times where they say a challenge, out of a challenge comes opportunity. So in these challenging times, what, in your opinion, is the opportunity for public schools across Ohio?
Yeah, we've talked about this before, that one of the cool things about what we have is we want to compete. We don't shy away from it. We welcome it. And quite candidly, we think we're better. And so we're willing to have that competition. And I think one of the challenges is now that all these districts, all these public institutions are faced with an attack of their educational system, we're going to compete in that too. And what I mean by that is that we're going to take the opportunity to understand what's going on. We're going to have Chris fighting the fight along with her and her team. She's going to fight the fight for us. And when what we're going to do is we're going to educate students. And so I think the opportunity to show that we are able to do it, which we have done many, many years, I think we'll continue to do that.
And I know of a couple of ways that the district, and I know this could be for any district across the state, but having the focus on student attendance and graduation rates is key.
No, absolutely it is. And I love the fact that we're focusing on attendance. We should be. And I love that our parent groups across the district are also focusing on attendance. I mean, half the battle is just a student being in the classroom. That's half the battle right there. And so, but I will say, we're not alone in this. There's districts across the state of Ohio that are experiencing the same issues. It just might be on different scales.
Yeah. And I know to get down to the individualized success stories. Mm-hmm. I know Dr. Durant, recently there was a brilliant article in The Blade about this young man in the Waite District who had faced challenges all throughout his life, and that the folks at Waite worked really hard with that one individual to make sure he got graduated and to help him move on. And so I think keeping focus on the individual, I mean, how does that push you through and keep you motivated to do what you do?
Well, and that's the whole idea of you know, in essence, of providing a team of support. But we do it for multiple students, and they start off in that way in freshman clusters because we identify them earlier on in age. And so the teachers band together, administration band together, and we did with, hey, have central administration also support this. And so within this, this young man, Darren, was part of my group as well. And he was credit short, and Darren's situation, you know, obviously he had drug addiction within his family that ultimately had them homeless on multiple occasions. And so many of the habits that I would hear from him were signs of homelessness, despite him never saying he was homeless. And so the fact that we were able to really get him, and, you know, I said in the article, I was blowing his phone up on a daily basis, and the fact that he would answer every one of my calls said he really wanted it, but just continued to need to be pushed. And so he ended up finishing, graduating, you know, a month after everyone else did, but he graduated this fall, past fall. One of his goals was to become an IBEW. And so just through our connections, we made some calls, and that young man right now is working at the casino as we speak, working under the IBEW, and he's right now a CW, which is construction wireman, and his goal is to be commercial. So we're excited for him, but he's just one of many kids who go through this, and there's just a team effort of teachers, administrators, support services who get behind children and get them past the finish line just to see to it that they have a chance and an opportunity to have a successful life.
You can look at the big picture and say the political landscape in Ohio is the deck is being stacked against the public education, but to keep focus on the mission of the children becoming adults and being successful in life, that's got to be the focus without question.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, as Dr. Durant talks about the student, I think it's the same student that walks, right, to get where he's going. And when I talk about passion, I heard Dr. Durant just say this last time we talked about this situation, about trying to see if there's a vehicle that this young man can get. But the important part was, and this is what he said. He said, what we got to do is make sure that he stays hungry. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure he stays hungry, because if we are able to get him a vehicle, we want him to stay connected. That is passion for the student. That is passion for the individual. That's not letting go students when you have reached graduation or what you have. That is a continual relationship with the community that makes the community better.
Yep. And Ms. Farwig, as far as your connection with the Ohio School Boards Association, mm-hmm. I mean, talking to folks that serve districts all over the state, how is this a shared cause?
Yeah, no, I listen, during my year as president, one of the things that I really pushed across the state of Ohio was to find the purple, right? Find that road where you can, listen, you're not always going to agree with the state legislators. Lord knows I do not on a daily basis, but I'm going to look for every avenue to find that common ground. And that is what a lot of school board members are trying to do. Bringing legislators into our buildings and in our districts to see firsthand the excellence that is happening every single day. Our staff, listen, across the state of Ohio, they're rock stars. They're coming in every day and grinding every single day. You don't know what you're going to walk into on that day, right? You don't know if a student's coming from what kind of a household, what happened that morning, you know, what they need. Sometimes they need a little extra TLC, right? Where are they going to get that at? They're going to get that from their teacher, from their principal, from the food service worker, the bus driver, you name it. That's what our staff does. And they do that across the state of Ohio. So when I talk to other school board members, they want the legislature to hear and understand the impact that public education can have on a daily basis across the state. One of the things that I'm really proud of our particular district, and we've actually had many school board members and districts come to visit us on our bus tours. And listen, it's planting a seed is what it really is, right? The bus tours goes around to our academies. Eventually, they're going to go around to the different career tech programs within our traditional schools as well to focus on, listen, there's three goals with that. One, to get our legislators from the federal, state, and local level into our buildings so they actually see what we're doing, right? Two, and they're hearing from students directly, not just staff. That's the best part. The students, with their passion, are selling our district themselves, right? But it's to plant seeds for other districts. Look, this is the opportunity. This is what we're doing. We're partnering with, you know, different community folks. We are providing career tech aspect. It is truly that true school choice and educational opportunity piece. And then the third goal of it was to get the community, the county, and the city development departments, and get them over on the bus tour so they could see what we're doing. So we become part of that message when they go out to try and recruit businesses to come here. We're part of that message. That was to show school districts across the state of Ohio, listen, we don't have all the answers, but we're working. We're doing what we need to do for our students.
And I know if we keep that focus on the political landscape, and we can almost say that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, but the light at the end of the tunnel for you, Dr. Durant, is the TPS mission.
That's exactly it. And, you know, the TPS mission is to provide innovative educational opportunities that ensure each student is prepared for their future. And that starts from day one. And so the more that we can get into the home in the early stages of early childhood until when they become kindergartners, set a good foundation from K to 3 to K to 4, get them now evaluated to understand their strengths, weaknesses, how it lines to careers in grade 5, take them to 6, and then they start experiencing these programs themselves and field trips as well as shadow days as well as the expo for 7 through 12. Then ultimately at the end of the day, those kids have internships, college credit, along with industry credentials to be able to successfully feel prepared to go on and know what they want to do with their lives. And that is the sequential order that every child should go through, whether it's mom, dad, grandparents were listening. Your child should have a better assessment within their earlier ages so you can continue to groom and support those strengths within that. The one thing that we all can say that we recognize is athletics. So we get all behind those athletics, but every child's not athletic. And every child's not a musician, but that child's a brain surgeon. That child is all these things. And so how do we get behind those children, identify them earlier in ages? And that's kind of what we set the system up for, is to be able to identify that, get those kids right into the pipeline, partner with industry to make these things happen.
I'll leave it for one final quick thought, Chris Farwig.
Wow. Well, at the end of the day, public education is a lifeline for so many students across the nation. And here in Ohio, we have to do a better job in investing in public education.
Thank you. And that's a wrap for this week's episode. I'm Rob Worsinski. Thanks for listening. I want to thank our guests, Chris Farwig, Romulus Durant, and Jim Gant for their time and insight. Join us next time on TPS Proud Out Loud.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.